Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Coffee and Football presented by BKCW. I'm your host, Blake Monroe, where I'm joined each and every morning by Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton. Tell us where you're checking in from, what you're drinking this morning. Obviously, get your questions in. We're going to get to those here in just a little bit. We also have a special guest today in Nick Redwine, who will be joining us here in just a little bit. And
remember the national championship team. He's got a ring.
That's right. More rings than we have, fellas, that's for sure. And guys, let's start with the portal. Not the best of news yesterday, so let's just recap that for folks that may have missed it.
Yeah, absolutely. Texas losing out on Dominic Williams, the defensive tackle out of TCU that we followed so closely for so long and thought would be just a true fit for the Longhorns. Oklahoma, the final winner there. I got to be honest, Texas was in it until the final day. Not only Texas, but another school were also contacted yesterday more than once asking to increase their offer or whatever you want to call it. Texas did not budge. Oklahoma may have, or I don't know exactly what happened there, but the Sooners come out the winner. Longhorns just, Jerry used the term yesterday, and I wrote this on Texas Football this morning. The juice may not just have been worth the squeeze. And that looks like what the final decision was coming out of Austin.
So I think this for basketball, football, whatever you're talking about with each of these programs, whoever it is, you have to decide if the juice is worth the squeeze on these kids. I mean, especially here in the spring, the second opening after basketball season, this spring window for football, these programs have to make that decision. And look, I'm on record. Nothing changes my opinion. I think Dominic Williams is an NFL draft pick. I think he could be a second, third round type of draft pick. I think he should have an 8 to 10 year career if he does this thing right. I think he's that level player, that level talent. Nothing changes with the decision a kid makes anywhere, anytime, on what you see in him as a player. Now, the programs have to decide, okay, is the juice worth the squeeze to them? One program may think yes. The other program may be different. That doesn't mean one's wrong and one's right. That's just the way this process plays out. And it definitely came down to Texas and Oklahoma. LSU wasn't able to get in that sandbox. There was a certain level there, and they got surpassed, and they weren't in it. It came down to Texas and Oklahoma, and, you know, you have to decide. I mean, these schools have to decide. And, Oklahoma's decided to pass on somebody before that their fan base probably wanted. Texas is, you just have to make those decisions. Is the juice worth the squeeze? And basketball staffs are having to do it. Football staffs are having to do it. I think Oklahoma got a tremendous football player. I think he's very good. I think he'll be a difference maker for Oklahoma. The juice was worth the squeeze for Oklahoma, and that now Texas will play against him.
Yep. I would add this. The other thing that I don't have a problem with, I mean, some people are, oh, well, the agent did this or did that. There are many facts. I don't have a problem with an agent that is out there looking out in the best interest of their clients, right? That's what a lawyer is supposed to do, and you want that on your side. At the same time, I think Steve Sarkisian has the right outlook on this. It can't be all about that. It can't be the first thing that we talk about. It has to be the last thing. And I think Texas has built the roster and built their recruits, et cetera, by not letting it be the first thing. And that's where it's at right now for Texas, in my opinion. And so I don't think upsetting the apple cart is necessarily – that's part of the conversation too, right, Jerry? Yeah. Do you want to upset – the whole ecosystem for one player, et cetera. And, you know, that's not worth the squeeze either.
Yeah. I see there's some comments in the chat that how good is maybe he's not as good as a second, third round type NFL draft pick. College coaches disagree. That's all I got to say. One college coach that was involved in recruitment thinks if he stayed 2 years, he could be a first round pick. So there's a reason guys were going after him, that you don't put this much time and effort in to a guy who's a sixth, seventh round picker, undrafted free agent. I mean, there's a reason why these guys went after him. He's a very good talent.
Well, guys, All hope isn't lost, however. There's still a portal defensive back that recently on campus. Can we talk about that and what's the latest with it?
I want to say this. All hope is not lost. So anybody that thinks that that's what this is, some kind of, I don't know, a funeral dirge walking by or whatever, that's just bunk. I mean, I mentioned it yesterday. No single player defeats the University of Texas in like this or changes the trajectory of the program like this. Not at defensive tackle. I think that the idea here is that, you know, you get it and go on, and now you go beat their butts in October. That's the reality of it. The thing about recruiting that I will always remember that Mac Brown told me, you lose a player to another team, you're going to see them at most one time in 4 years. You lose a player to another. Think about that. With Dominic Williams, they may see him once in a period. So you actually are more concerned about building your own roster, your own depth, et cetera, and what it does to your team. Mac Brown used to say this. I mean, look, don't worry about the guy that you see four times in 4 years. Worry about the guys you see every day for 365 days a year. And so Texas needs to pour everything they've got into the guys on campus. Yes, they probably need to still be looking in the portal for a potential defensive tackle. I don't know if that guy is out there right now. So we'll see how that goes. But point being, we'll have to wait and see. You're talking about Javion Cole, the defensive back out of San Jose State. CJ Vogel reporting he was on campus yesterday, starting his official visit around 11 a.m. He goes until Saturday, a young man out of San Jose State by way of Oakland's McClimans High School. He actually also now has set up an official visit to Auburn May 6th through 7th or 6th through 8th, I believe, as well. So that's where the recruiting for portal is concerned. Jerry, I got to ask you, where are you at right now? Because you're clearly in a hotel room somewhere.
Well, some people are asking about Michigan State guys. Simeon Barrow, that's not happening. That'll be Miami over LSU unless LSU wins out late there, maybe for the same reasons. I'm not sure LSU can play in the sandbox with Miami either on this one. Derek Harmon, I think Texas has continued to talk to Derek Harmon. I'm not sure if that's one that Texas would pursue. Is it out of the question Texas pursue somebody else? No, it's definitely not. If they can find somebody else that's a fit, they will go after that guy. What are the pickings? They're slim. So that's the reality of it right now. I'm in Columbus, Georgia. I was at Saraland High School in Mobile yesterday, drove into Georgia, got a couple of stops today that we'll have a lot on TexasFootball.com and here in the Longhorn live stream a little bit later. I'm not going to give that away because we may have somebody as a special guest. I don't want to claim it yet. Let's just see how the schedule plays out. But was at Saraland yesterday for practice. Spent some time with KJ Lacy. So I put a lot of videos up on Texas football. KJ Lacy up to 186 pounds. He was 172, 173 last season, up to 186 pounds now, putting on good weight. Auburn coaches were three deep yesterday. It was the defensive staff, but they paid as much attention to KJ Lacy as they did to Antonio Coleman, the four-star defensive lineman who's committed to Alabama, was an Auburn commitment, was an Alabama commitment, and he may end up back at Auburn. We'll see. But DJ Durkin, the D-line coach, and I think he was a secondary coach, spent a lot of time there watching KJ Lacy. I think Auburn, you know, Julian Lewis, the 26th quarterback that's reclassing, that's committed to the USC, there's some hope that Auburn flips him. So what would happen there? But Auburn's making a run at KJ Lacy, Julian Lewis hoping to get one of those two guys. KJ has his Texas official visit scheduled for June 21st through 23rd. Coach Jeff Kelly, the head coach there, who's a tremendous quarterback at Southern Miss, played briefly in the NFL and in Canadian League, I believe. He's the head coach at Saraland, continues to have great things to say about KJ, his development, especially physically, because he's a young kid for his age, for his class, for his grade. He could actually be a sophomore right now. So just really starting to fill out physically. Like I said, he's up about 13, 14 pounds since last season. So he's closing in. He'll probably play at 190, 192 pounds next year. He's kind of hitting that little bit of a growth spurt. It's grown maybe half an inch as well. But a really good player. Obviously, Texas, I think at On Texas Football. Texas will either sign, but they'll sign a quarterback in this class. I don't think they'll sign two. And the other guy, you know, in the picture is obviously Keelan Russell from Duncanville. Texas hasn't offered him yet. We'll see what happens there. But KJ Lacy remains solidly committed to Texas. And Auburn is the one that's making the biggest push. USC also starting to be in contact. Could that be because Julian Lewis may flip to Auburn? We'll see. It's kind of how the quarterback dominoes fall. I'm on the road. We have a on the road thread on ontexasfootball.com. I post a lot of photos just from everywhere. Anything I see there, plus the football stops. So we have a lot of fun with that. I'll be on the road for the next 6 days. Be down in Florida all next week, hitting a bunch of stops. So I'm in Georgia today and through the weekend.
Good stuff.
Sectional track meets, which would be regional track meets in Texas, are going on in the Atlanta area today. Also a big AAU basketball tournament in Atlanta. There's a lot going on in the Atlanta area.
Texas State track meet is today and tomorrow. Started yesterday as yeah. well. I think 2A and 3A went yesterday, Blake and Jerry. Is that right?
Yeah.
So CJ Vogel will be over there at that. We'll be having news and notes from that as well. A lot of top-ranked players available, and we'll talk to media during the event. It's kind of different. The good thing about track meets, Jerry, when you go out to those, it's really easy because the kids have so much downtime. Yeah. They're not being watched over by, you know, everybody every single minute. They've got, you know, they got to go wait 2 hours before their next thing. And then the next event is literally, you know, takes all of 10 seconds for them sometimes. Those are always good opportunities to get out and meet players as well.
It's actually my favorite event within football recruiting, even though it's not on the field football. I love track meets for the reasons you said. Also, the football, not the head coaches, but the assistant coaches or the track coaches the majority of the time. So you get to talk to those guys about the kids. You get to see all the young kids. And it's a stress-free non-football environment. Like you said, those kids have a lot of time. They're actually even more talkative away from football field, away from football facilities. But it's also great. I love track with football kids because it's really the closest thing to digging into a guy's competitive nature as you're going to find, not on the football field, right? That you alone at an event, shot put, discus, 100 meters, whatever you're running. And there's the team relay events, but you see the competitive nature of these guys. I mean, and you see it. They're not covered by a helmet and a face shield. You can see expressions. You can talk to those guys. You can see the reactions to winning or losing. I actually like to see the reactions when guys come in second or third or fourth. How do they react to that? Because it tells you a lot. Those events are great. They're great for photographs, obviously, interviews, all that. But it's a great environment to watch these top athletes, of top football prospects, compete in a different way other than football and talk to their coaches.
Okay, guys, before we move on, Bobby, can you tell folks how they can escape the insurance trap with BKCW?
Yeah, absolutely. BKCW is a business insurance. So if you have a small business, big business, whatever business, and you have an insurance company that works with you, make sure you don't get caught in the insurance trap. That's when a surprise budget increase happens at the very last minute. They don't actually, the insurance company you have doesn't really help you with your employee benefits renewal, anything like that, where you feel like, I just got nicked at the very last minute and wasn't really kept apprised of the entire situation all the way through. BKCW does its best to not have that happen. Operating out of their headquarters in Austin, Texas, and owned by a UT grad, BKCW uses a five-step process to identify your business's weak spots, design a plan, execute it, and then this is what's really important. They monitor your situation throughout the whole year so that you can lower your insurance costs and effectively manage your company's risk. BKCW has already helped some of the most well-known companies in the Austin area in Central Texas escape the insurance trap, and it all starts with a free risk assessment. Go to bkcw.com or send an email to info@bkcw.com. Again, get yourself out of the insurance trap and into someone that'll actually help you manage and alleviate the risk of your business.
So somebody in the chat said we're slacking on the duck camp. Gear. Maybe, but let you look, I just got to tell you guys this. The Manscaped Handyman goes on the road, baby. Everywhere I go, the Manscaped Handyman goes with me. There you go.
I love these duck camp hats now, man. I'm all about them. You know, I know what I'm getting my dad for Father's Day. I'll just put it that way.
All right, guys. Well, our special guest is here. Jerry, I'm going to let you make the introduction while I bring him in.
Yeah, so this is at the UT football alumni event that night before the spring game. Ran into Nick Redwine. Obviously played at Tyler Lee. Recruited by Mack Brown. Has a national championship ring. So I thought it'd be fun to bring in Nick Redwine. Talk to him, man, about the day's plan, national championship ring, what he sees from Texas now, what he's doing now for the Texas fans. So, Nick, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Jerry, appreciate you all for having me on. Good to see everybody. And, yeah, it's a great day. Great day well, to be on for.
thanks for joining us, Nick. I got to ask you first off, what are you up to today? I mean, that's always one of the things we like to hear about what former Longhorns are doing nowadays, post-playing days.
Right. Well, thanks for asking that. You know, it's been a bit of a journey since graduating from the university, but I currently live in Hutto. Have a wife and two children, two girls, 11 and a 7-year-old. And currently I work in technology. I work for a database company. So that's what pretty much makes up my day. So hard at work, obviously Austin being the great hub that it is basically we call it Silicon Hills, right? So it's not Silicon Valley, it's basically Silicon Hills. So yeah, been doing that for a while, been in the tech industry for a while. So really just hanging out, and I wanted to get to a place where it reminded me of East Texas, because I call it going behind the pine curtain. And Hutto was landed in Hutto, and it's probably soon to not be such a small railroad town, because we got the big Samsung semiconductor plant going out in Taylor, which is about 7 miles down the road. And so, of course, infrastructure is not supporting this many people coming here. But all in all, it's a cool place to be.
Hey, Nick, when we were talking, it really struck me that, you know, look, you were part of arguably the best Texas team of all time. Some people would argue, some people wouldn't. Definitely part of the best game of all time, right? And then Texas had the downtime, and now Texas is back to being one of the top programs in the country. Kind of take me back to when you were recruited by Mack Brown, because that was really when Texas was starting to rise again. Mm-hmm. You went through that process, and you saw Texas get to the top of the mountain, right? You were part of that. So kind of take me back through that, and then kind of to where Texas is now, what you see from Texas now.
You know, what's interesting through my process is that Texas was, I grew up a Florida State fan, actually. And the main reason was like, oh, I just love
you and Rod Babers. You and Rod Babers.
Yeah, I still do, right? But going through that process, I mean, it's Texas. It speaks for itself, right? First class, everything. And the standard was just so high. I would say light years above everywhere else. And, you know, there's not a Texas A&M or a Texas Tech or any abbreviation or any type of add-on that you have to do. It's just Texas. And so going through that process, you understood very early, especially with Coach Brown recruiting you, that, hey, this is a different place. It's just a different place to be. It's a different level of football and a standard here. So I say standard a lot because we, going into it, had so many talented individuals that were a part of Texas already. And we were kind of in the spot, I guess you could say, similarly prior to when Coach Sark was coming in. Like, we were just so close. And I remember coming in, and we had lost to OU really bad that year that I was coming in, or not my freshman year, but the year before, prior to. But you could tell that there was a few pieces that were missing, and then those pieces started to come together, and we were a very player-led team. And so a lot of things, even me being able to talk to the current staff here now, it sounds like they're getting more towards being a player-led team. to where coaches don't have to intervene as much. And when that happens, special things start to occur. And it's been great to see the elevation, to see the ascension of the program, because it's been a tough, 10, 12 years?
Yeah, it's been a while. What do you think? Let me ask you this, as it relates to some other things, Nick, and what you're talking about there. Texas in those down years, you saw them. We all saw them. What were you thinking was the missing ingredient, in your opinion, during those years?
We just didn't. We didn't really pass the eye test in, like, when we had those down years. And what I mean by the eye test is that, okay, when a team is so good, and I know Sark talked about depth, like, when I look at the team, when I was looking at the teams when we were down years, it was like, man, it was like, okay, we have maybe a few guys. Like, okay, they passed the eye test, but then they also, you know, could go in a dark alley with you if you need. Yeah. I see so much depth now. I see so much depth. I mean, you got the ones, the twos, and the threes that could essentially play anywhere in the nation. But the depth was there. And I even feel like, and I'll just go on record and say this, even when we were there, I felt like we didn't tap into all of our depth that we had. We typically, you know, would be maybe one or two deep at some spots, but like, I feel like now, even with Sark, like, there's people that I feel like a three deep, and even in some areas, maybe even four deep. So I feel like collectively, that was the glaring moment, just not being able to see the depth. But now I see that now with the team that, you know, Sark is putting together.
Got it. Speaking with Nick Redwine, former Tyler Lee. Is it legacy now? Is that the new thing?
Yeah, it's legacy now. Yeah, it's legacy. Yeah. Totally looks different now. I mean, Tyler's growing big time, that's for sure.
Good stuff. Hey, Nick, I had one other question for you. I know Jerry's trying to get something in here too.
Sure.
You look at the team now and you talk about the strength, but you were a defensive player, at least coming out. What were your thoughts when you look at the quarterback play at Texas right now? Because the one thing they did, there were some good quarterbacks here and there. Sam had a good career at Texas. But I think in the last 10, 15 years, and I think quarterback play as well as depth of the program were kind of contributing factors. Now you're looking out there and you see, not only do you see Quinn Ewers, you see Arch Manning, and then you see a guy like Trey Owens coming up. That's a true freshman that throws the pill around. You know, you're a defensive player. What do you think of that?
I think it's awesome. I think we have great depth. Interestingly enough, I was at the spring game, and I think it was a pass to number 49, Milton.
Yep.
I thought that was Arch. And it turned out that was the freshman, Trey Owens. And I said, that dude can spin it. I was like, wow. I like stepped up and like knuckleballed it right in there. Boom, it was right on time. And these guys are actually throwing to a spot. And that's what you want to do. You want to be able to throw to a spot and really be able to do that in tight coverage. So with the evolution of Quinn, and of course, Arch looked fantastic, right? on the defensive side, it wasn't great to see some bombs there. But from an offensive perspective, it looks like, hey, we're gonna be good. And I love the quarterback play. And you're right. Over the years, we haven't had just like the guy. And I feel like with the three quarterbacks that we have there, I feel like those all are guys that are and can be like the guy, which is amazing, because you don't get to see that on any teams hardly, as far as like that level of depth at quarterback.
Hey, Nick, I want to ask you this. Obviously, a lot of former teammates, right? How close do you guys stay as a group, and who are some of your main guys you stay in contact with?
Yeah, we stay pretty tight. And I think I mentioned this to you when we ran into each other. Like, a lot of us are still here in the greater Austin area. Yeah. We may not, you know, come around as much, or, you know, you have some of those guys who went on to have illustrious NFL careers who kind of are a little bit more in the limelight, if you will. And some of us that have played kind of just tend to ourselves, or just, you know, we may not come around as often. So some of the guys that I keep in constant contact with Tim Crowder, Ryan Palmer, Aaron Harris, Roderick McElroy, who's also in Hutto, and Lamar Houston. Those are some of the guys that I keep in touch with. Also, Nate Jones as well. He's I think he's still in Texarkana. He's between Texarkana and Dallas as well. But, yeah, those are pretty much my core guys that I teach. Keep in touch with Sergio Kendall as well, too. He's actually in the Dallas area. He's coaching now.
Yeah.
So I forget what high school he's coaching at.
He may be at Woodrow where he played.
I think he was at Woodrow, but now I think he's at Hillcrest, I think.
You're right. He did go over to Hillcrest. You could call.
Right. So,
yeah. Hey, Nick, talk about this as former players. Steve Sarkisian, I think, is doing a really good job getting you guys back around the program. Maybe hadn't been done as well previous to his hire. Talk about that and what Sark's doing there. And how that impacts you as guys, as lifetime Longhorns former players.
Yeah, Sarkisian really stressed the importance of having us around. I think when I was here, we had guys come around from different eras, and it made it collectively a brotherhood, right? Because you have those guys that you play with and that you see on the day-to-day, but then also feel the presence and feel the full support from the guys of yesteryear or beyond. It really feels good to be able to have those connections. And even now, like, I'm able to do that from a reunion standpoint, even every year that we have that, to even connect with some of those other individuals. So it doesn't just stop whenever you're a student athlete, it continues. And I think to be able to have that nucleus of brotherhood, that you know that, hey, you're able to connect with people that walked your walk and know the expectations that come from the University of Texas and being a student athlete there, it just makes it feel good. So Sark has really done a excellent job within the short time that he's been here to really put that at the forefront and make you feel welcome.
One last question here for you, Nick. Thank you for joining us again, by the way. And I know Texas fans feel the same. A pleasure to hear you talk about this. I got to ask the question that's on everybody's mind right now. You won a national championship. You've seen what a team looks like from the inside. You're looking at it from the outside these days, although you have some access, et cetera.
Yeah.
Close is Texas right now to getting over that hump and getting back to the pinnacle of college football?
They're so close. They're so close. I think even if you ask me, we should have won every game last year. I mean, the two losses, we didn't play our best games and still had a chance to win.
Yeah, that's true.
And now being able to take that, the biggest thing that I would like to see from the Sark and crew is finish. Great year. We got to win the bowl game. We got to win bowl games. And we got to take it to that next level. So that's the only thing that I would say is just the finish. We're there. So close. And I think they have a really good opportunity to make a splash and get an early win against the defending national championship champions in Michigan. And then that's going to really take us far. We're well prepared. And I just can't wait. Excited about all of the games, especially the A&M game rivalry being renewed. So yeah, these guys got it for sure.
Yeah. Nick, that led me into a question before we let you go. Because I know you got a big work day in front of you. The Texas A&M Texas rivalry. Talk about that. Obviously you were an FSU fan, as you said, Rod Babers too, is a part of On Texas Football, but talk about that Texas A&M rivalry. I'm sure you were part of that on a recruiting level, right? You probably attended one of those games. Talk about maybe how big that was as a high school recruit, and maybe how much kids have missed that, because I think that's been a big missing piece in in-state recruiting for A&M in Texas.
Yeah, I think it was a shame, you know, and I know egos probably got involved with that, right? Kind of politics, if you will. But growing up, or at least just when I was getting recruited, because it came down to Texas and Texas A&M, believe it or not, for me, a lot of people from Tyler, specifically from my school, but then also just in general, typically we go to A&M for whatever reason. And I had a bunch of buddies that would go to A&M as well too. And so that's kind of where we parted ways. I was the only one that really went to Texas. And I know there were some other you know, individuals behind me from Tyler that came through Texas. But yeah, I think it's amazing. I think it's great for the state of Texas. And I believe that's what's missing, and we're excited for it. I think it is, it's just what college football is supposed to be. And that game there is just one that gets you really excited. And it's amazing that they're going to bring it back into the fold. And hopefully it does not change for, and it stands the test of time. So.
All right. That's Nick Redwine, a lifetime Longhorn, and has a national championship ring somewhere there. I'm sure you ever break that thing out? You ever put that thing on or what?
Every once in a while, I'm a little spicy. I feel a little fancy, you know. So yeah, every once in a while I do it. The one that's most important to me, though, guys, is a T ring.
Yeah.
You know, I obviously my career didn't go as anticipated with injuries or whatnot, but I left with something. And you know, football is a small part of who of my life and who I was, and it's not who I am. And at the end of the day, you know, loving husband, great father, and just a try to be the best human I can be.
That's awesome. Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dick.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
You got to give us a hook 'em on the way. There you go. That's Dick Redwine.
Yes, sir.
Lifetime Longhorn. Played for Texas. Was a Mack Brown recruit out of Tyler Lee High School, now Tyler Legacy. But Nick, as he said, he came down to A&M in Texas. I ran into him before the spring game there, and I said, man, we got to get some guys like this on. Let all the Texas fans know what these guys are doing in their life. And Nick's very successful, great guy. He always has been, man, dating back to the recruiting process. So thank you very much, Nick, for joining us. And we're going to work to get more guys, former Texas players on, and so they can tell you guys what they see nowadays and what they're doing in their lives now.
Oh, unique perspectives, right? They've been in the battle. That's just the bottom line. And I think that what I think a lot of people realize is players that went through that 2010 to 2020 or so era, they are upset about how they performed in some ways and how they came up short. Guys in Nick's era, they see that too, and they feel for those guys because they've been in their shoes. And it just speaks volumes. I also think that a guy like Nick, very articulate, really talks well and in a way that is relatable and gives everybody a sense of what you can become at the University of Texas. Tremendous stuff there. Two kids living in Hutto. You know, that's just awesome stuff, man. Changed his life by going to the University of Texas, I'm sure. He was probably already on a good – it sounds like his mom and dad had him on a good track to start with.
Look, and he brought up something, and when I've talked to Rod about this, that we talk about in recruiting so much, and people kind of joke with me when I say cool school, and how important I think this move to the SEC is for Texas and the future of Texas football. Think about how many guys have said they were FSU fans, Bobby. These are guys who signed with Mack Brown who grew up FSU fans, okay? When those guys were growing up, FSU was the cool school in college football. And the Florida-Florida State rivalry was the rivalry because they were both competing. Steve Spurrier's personality, those teams were competing for the national championship in Miami. College football ran through the state of Florida at that time, realistically. Let's be real about it. But that's how they grew up, right? You identify with teams, players, coaches, what have you. Obviously, Rod Babers wore 21. Why? Deion Sanders. I mean, this stuff is stood the test of time, and it's why this move to the SEC is so important for Texas, is that, look, these kids who are DeCorian Moore, these 25s, 26s, 27s, these kids when they're 10 or 12, they really start to lock in. I've found interviewing these kids over the years, lock in with a team, a player, a conference. And that is what these kids have been locked into. That's what they grew up watching. They grew up watching Alabama, Georgia, SEC dominate college football, LSU, right? I mean, why is LSU – a lot of people say LSU still a hot team with guys. Well, LSU won a national title in 2019. How old were these guys in the 25 class when they won that title? 12, 13 years old. That's the age of influence there. So with these kids, so that's why this move to the SEC is so big for Texas, and why last season what Sark did was so big for Texas. You go in and you win at Alabama, and you follow it up. It's not a fluke win, and you go 8-5. You follow it up, and you go to the college football playoff. Now these guys are drafted. Now you're going to have the SEC logo on the jersey next year. It's gonna do wonders over a long period of time for Texas in recruiting with these kids.
Yeah, it will. And I would add this to that comment. I was thinking about this. I talked to a LSU reporter yesterday, Jerry, that you and I both know, who shall remain nameless. But he's a good guy. He said, you know, the deal with Texas right now, as compared to LSU, in years past, LSU would really hammer home the SEC over yep. Texas's head and yep. hang it over their head. Now they don't have that anymore. So what are they going to hang over Texas's head in recruiting? Right. They're going head to head. Also, you talk about teams. When you mention all those teams, like a Florida State or Georgia, Florida, LSU, whatever, that have been good and won national championships. The other team that Texas fans has been a little bit of a thorn in the side, whether it's Ohio State that comes down and gets one or two Texans a year. Clemson recently did the yep. same thing, because people thought Clemson win a couple of national championships. No. So Texas is fighting them off all ways, and any kind of to your point, influence you could have on a young guy earlier, the more likely it's going to have a staying effect later yeah. on when it comes time to make a decision.
I can say this in my years doing this, the three players that when you ask the Rod Babers age, Nick Redwine, all those guys, Deion Sanders was a big one. Vince Young and TJ Ford at the same time for Texas were huge. And then Tim Tebow doing this job nationally. I mean, those are the guys that have had a staying impact for me when you interview recruits. You can just kind of put it in your memory bank. All right, whose name's brought up the most, right? Okay, who was really influential for those guys? And for those guys from that Rod Babers, Nick Redwine age group, it was the FSUs, the Miamis, it was Deion Sanders, right? Those were the guys. Then it came like for Texas, Vince Young and TJ coming to Texas in back-to-back years. I mean, that was a total game changer for Texas athletics. Then when doing this nationally, boy, Tim Tebow with a lot of kids in that Southeast region, that was big. And, you know, you got to have a coach and a staff that knows how to capitalize on it, obviously. You know, Urban Meyer was a tremendous recruiter, but don't sacrifice culture for wins, guys. Look at what happened there. It's just been amazing over the years to kind of see how this has stood the test of time with prospects.
Okay, guys, before we move on and start taking all these great questions that we have, first, I'm going to let Bobby tell folks out there about Flat Creek Estate Winery.
Yeah, our friends over at Flat Creek have been winning some awards of late. 11 awards in 30 days, including double gold Grand Reserve and Texas Grand Reserve at the Houston Rodeo. Flat Creek Estate Winery is just a few minutes from the heart of Austin, out near Lago Vista, out that way. Select bottles of the wines by Flat Creek Estate are now available at your local Specs, and you can get a taste of what they're all about. Flat Creek Estate is also a gorgeous venue, hosting events for the whole family all spring. Derby Day, they've got something going on for Mother's Day, of course. It's just a beautiful, beautiful place that you can take the family. Mother's Day, a perfect example of that. Eat, drink, and be awesome at Flat Creek Estate Winery. For more info, visit flatcreekestate.com. Hook them, and thank you for your support of On Texas Football.
Okay, we have a lot of questions to get to, including a lot of super chats. And we're going to start here with this super chat from Jay Lee. Thank you, Jay. He says, people are sleeping on Alfred Collins this year. Heck, that Burke interception was because how far Alfred pushed Campbell back, ran him into Helm, who was coming to get Burke. So my question to y'all is, what kind of impact do you think Collins will have this season?
You know, I hope he has a Kevondre Sweat-like season. And I mean that not from – he's a totally different type of player than Kevondre, right? But the issue there is you hope he comes on as a senior after showing signs of life as a junior. Tavondre started getting better as a year ago, not just immediately. Alfred started getting better and more consistent last year. I hope he does and has that kind of same impact on the defense this year. He is a totally different player. He's more of an upfield guy, not a run anchor guy. But if he can have that kind of year, which is, let's face it, Jerry, it is his contract year. That would be huge for this defense because they need an interior guy with veteran presence to kind of lead them. We'll see if that happens with Alfred. He is a freaky athlete for his size. I will give you that. And he's always been that way. The question has been consistency. Is he ready physically to really compete?
Yeah, I think he's got to have, 86 tackles in 4 years. He's been a productive football player at Texas, but he's always been kind of the enigma for me. And I don't have my son. Actually, I do have my shades. People like it when I talk about Alfred. So I better have him. I'm going to a track meet in about 2 hours. Alfred's always been that guy that kind of, you know, has so much ability, so much potential. But you keep waiting and waiting for him to reach that potential. Yeah, these are gooders, by the way. You keep waiting for him to have just a consistent stretch of that potential. Texas needs that from him this year. That doesn't mean he has to go out and make 60 tackles and have 10 sacks this year. But they need a 35-40 tackle, 4 or 5 sack season from him. They need him to be a guy because when college coaches see him, it's always been the same, man, look at this guy physically. Then you see the spurts from him. But do you have to consistently game plan or deal with him? That's what Texas needs him to be this year to help everybody else around them.
Our next Super Chat's from Christian. Thank you, Christian. He says, this was a little bit ago before the interview. It's 8:29 a.m. and OU still sucks. I think that's something Texas fans can get behind.
It's 4:20 somewhere. Not at all, man. maybe from driving, well over 1,000 miles. That may be it.
Oh, in response to that question.
Yeah.
And then let's see here. Mikey D. Mexican, thank you for the super chat. He says, hey, yo, fellas, checking in from Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Love you guys. I've been watching since y'all started these videos. I hate to say it, but it seems as if we just cannot win the big game hunting on the defensive line.
Maybe some truth to that, Jerry. Maybe some truth to that. I don't know, though, that I would here's my thing, and I would caution to say this as it relates to Dominic Williams, okay? Do not make any – I think we went over this, and I know a lot of people have joined us since we started this, Jerry, so perhaps we should go back over it. Dominic Williams was a scenario where I think it was just NIL. I wrote this morning on Texas Football. I know for a fact that at least two schools, including Texas being one of them, were asked yesterday to up the ante, so to speak. And Texas didn't budge. Okay. They didn't think necessarily the juice was worth the squeeze. So it's not that Texas couldn't have, they just decided not to.
And by the way, I want to say this. That doesn't mean he's not a tremendous player. We're not saying that because he's an NFL. He's a future NFL player. Go ahead, Bobby.
Yeah, the reality of it is Steve Sarkisian wants these things to not just be about NIL. And so it has to be a fit. Maybe this one wasn't a fit in that regard. So take that the way you want it to. But my point being, I know for a fact that there was some back and forth yesterday. And the reality of it all is that Texas is just not going to be all about NIL. It's just not going to happen. And so will they lose out on some guys, whether it's at defensive line, defensive back, offensive line, wherever, because of that? Yeah. But at the same time, I think Texas has won many more than its fair share of those battles too, when they like the player and feel like the whole situation has gone in the right direction.
As you said, Bobby, we have had a lot of people join since we first started the show, obviously, and we're going to use this super chat to kind of reset here. Banuels 327, thank you for the super chat. He says, tell us, after not getting Dominic Williams, who are the next defensive tackles that Texas goes after? With Sark saying after the spring game that that's the position that they need to fill.
Yeah, they added Bill Norton there, and they'd like to get another, at least one more. We'll see. I said it earlier, pickings are slim. A lot of these kids are down the line that were maybe a second or third. They're down the line. Simeon Barrow, that is not happening. That's going to be a Miami or LSU, barring a change today. Derek Harmon from Michigan State, he may be closing in on decision too. So if that happens is kind of the question that nobody can answer right now, who that's going to be and what could happen and what type of timeline. You, Bobby, by the way, you also have grad transfers. You can jump in at any time, by the way.
Yeah, but they just can't come in from – they can't come in from SEC schools.
Yeah.
One from Grand Valley State is perhaps interesting. There's a defensive tackle there that's starting to get some play. Also, Derek Harmon, the big defensive nose tackle out of Michigan State, although I think he's probably going to be off the market here pretty quick. We'll see if there are others. Right now, there's none that I can just say point to and say Texas is definitely going after this guy with everything they've got.
And one of the other things that we mentioned at the start of the show, guys, was Javion Cole on campus. And we have a couple of questions regarding that, so we'll talk about that as well. Zane Petty, any update on how the corner from San Jose's visit is going? I'm excited about him. His high school film was awesome.
Yeah, I like the kid. Look, the San Jose State staff, the head coach obviously now at Arizona, they think the kid's got a future in pro football. What level that is, that remains to be seen, right? But a really good player, naturally has really good ball skills, good feel for making plays on the ball. And so we'll see what happens there. I think, starting this process, I think Texas is probably considered a team to beat. Now, if he goes and makes that visit to Auburn, we'll see what happens a week from now.
And then Marty wants to know, what is the confidence level that Texas can land Cole?
I think it's a high confidence level, but look, this is a recruit that he was kind of popped in. He's off the radar, right? This is not a guy that people knew really outside of Cal Poly fan base, Mountain West fan base, right? And even those people had to really follow it close outside of San Jose State. So this is one that's really new to the Power Four teams. And a lot of them have tried to jump in. I mean, he's had a lot of offers. But Texas and Auburn feel like that's what it's going to come down to right now, Bobby, unless somebody else jumps in here in the next few days.
Yeah, I think that's the case. Some people have asked us also, Jerry, about Isaiah Hamilton, the corner out of Houston. Texas has not shown much interest there at all at this point. I think they like Javion Cole a lot, and we'll see where it goes. But Texas and Auburn, the two teams expected to be in there. How is the visit going? I have not heard how the visit is going. He got in at 11 o'clock yesterday, has been there all day yesterday, today, gets gone. He's leaving Austin on Saturday. So it's through today into Saturday morning.
And a few other super chats that we need to knock out, fellas. This first one from Jack. Thank you once again, Jack. He says, Jerry, you're obviously a Texas fan. How do you maintain your distance with these young recruits? I feel certain that some of them have to ask you for advice.
Yeah, look, so that's a great question in this business. And I'll say this, never you get asked many times, whether it's a parent, kid, somebody, where do you think Johnny should go? And I say, not my life, man. It's not my decision. It's not my life. That is y'all's decision. This is his first decision, big decision in his life. Sometimes it's their second or third one as a young adult. But these kids, look, the one thing I say is these kids have to make – they need help from your circle or from your coaching staff, high school coaching staff or what have you. They may need a little help with the process. But the one thing I've always maintained about recruiting is now it's different in the portal with these transfers in college to college. That's different. That's a little different. I'm talking high school recruiting here is these guys need to make the decision for themselves, because the one thing I'll say, the one thing you learn in this business, and I think it's like anything, is if you, and I'm not talking about me and anybody in my business. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people in a kid's life. If you push a kid to a certain school and you maybe are the reason a kid goes to that school, if things don't work out, who's he going to look at and say, hey, man, you know, this is not where I wanted to go. And you told me to go here and this didn't work out for me. I'm big on these kids making their own decision. And I think some kids need some guidance and some help through the process from their family or high school coaches at times, but they need to make their own decision because they're the ones that are going to walk it every day and deal with the adversity every day and be in fourth team and trying to work their way up to third team and having to wake up and go to class and work out to do all this stuff. These kids need to make their own decision and then deal with the adversity of their decision, because there's going to be adversity in college sports for these kids. Anybody that pushes these kids to a school, when adversity hits and they leave, who gets blamed? Person that pushed them to that school. And I don't want that to be me. I wouldn't want that to be me if I was anybody. I'd help. If you want to help guide a kid, if you're close to a kid, that's one thing. But these kids need to make their own decisions.
Yeah. Jerry, I can't tell you how many times when I was doing this back in the 90s and early 2000s, probably I got asked, oh, where should I go to school? Or what do you think? And you just bite your lip.
Yep.
I mean, even if you have thoughts, you just like, look, man, you know, you got to figure all this stuff out. I can't tell you how many different times, you know, people would say, well, you know, this team's telling me I'm a running back. And this had nothing to do with Texas, by the way. It could be because I cover recruiting nationally.
Yeah.
It could deal with Florida and Steve Spurrier versus Bobby Bowden. I mean, for example. And the reality of it is that you just have to sit back and listen and be a fly on the wall a little bit. And you're not there to help guide the player. You're there to report on the process, not become part of the process.
That's right.
And frankly, I think that somewhere in the mid-2000s, that got lost in the shuffle. There were some instances where, you know, some people got, you know, reporters were influencing outcomes because they weren't really reporters. And hopefully that's self-corrected overall. I think media has done a great job in general of making sure that self-corrects. And what I mean by that is the more there are, the less one media person can have an effect, right? So I feel like that's been a situation, Jack, that is very, and I don't want to belabor it, but it's very in tune with how I think. You let guys make their own decisions, let them come to their own conclusions, because otherwise it's just, it won't last long term.
All right, y'all, a couple more super chats we need to get to. Kent McClain, thank you, Kent. He says, tell us where we stand with Kalik Lockett.
I think Texas is right there for Kalik. He'll go through this June official visit process, scheduled to be at Texas the 21st through 23rd. I think it's going to be fascinating to see how wide receiver recruiting works out for Texas in this class. You know, there's been talk early it was going to be three. Now it could be leaning to four, so it could be three, it could be four. It depends on if you get, you know, Texas isn't reaching for anybody, right? I mean, so it's going to come down to, look, there's a number of official visitors that I think are going to, was where the three or four going to come from. And that's the Corian Moore whenever he announces his date, right? That's Jamie French, who I think Texas is in a pretty good spot for right now. I'm not saying they're going to get him, but there's a lot to play out. But I think Ohio State slipped and Texas, LSU, and Tennessee and Miami are the four top four right now. And I think Texas did very well with him and his family on that visit. Kelshawn Johnson, Kalik Lockett, Marcus Harris from Modern Day. I mean, Texas has a lot of talented receivers coming in. And I didn't mention all the guys that have official visits. But then what's interesting this week and thing we talk about the spring evaluation period, Texas is, they're watching Dallas Wilson at Tampa Tech, the Oregon commitment. So Texas continues to go see the guys who they think are the very best in the country and take swings at those guys. Dallas Wilson says he's going to visit. If he visits, it would be during the season. That's a recruitment that may go for a while, even if he's committed somewhere else, right? So that one could go to December. He's committed to Oregon. He's going to visit Miami and Florida in June and Oregon. He's talking to Texas about coming in during the season with his parents for a game. So we'll see how that all plays out. But I think Texas is right there with Kalik Lockett. And I'm fascinated to see what Texas is going to do, who they're truly going to push for come June to fill three spots.
And then we have one other two super chats. But first, Nate Russ, I saw you put one in. No question with it. If you'll send it normal, I will fix that to you, and then we'll get to it. But it's 420 somewhere. It says, thanks for all your hard work, team, and Jerry. That much driving will give you a hangover. Regarding big game hunting, Mrs. Sweat and Murphy weren't big game hunts, and they ended up being okay. Hook them.
I just want the allergies to take a break with me, man. It's been a butt kicking for the last month. But and being in Georgia doesn't necessarily help that. Look, this is the thing. On defensive line is a developmental position, and it's always going to be. Everybody wants five stars, but it's a developmental position. And the thing that I always say on defensive line is you have to recruit guys to a certain talent level, but it's a developmental position, and it's always going to be a developmental position because guys who are the really good athletes, they win on quickness, Bobby. There's guys who just went on a bull rush. But those guys need physical development and a lot of technical development coming out of high school. And it takes these guys time. Just think about how long it took Tavondre Sweat. And some guys have to take some longer to realize that potential. You hope Alfred Collins realizes that potential this year that he has. Then there's guys like Byron Murphy who come in, you know, pretty much a buzzsaw, right? And he's undersized, and people told him he wasn't good enough. He's committed to Baylor. Texas flips him. He's 6'2", 280 when he commits to Texas. Now you see what he's become in 3 years. But there's still a lot of development in that process. So, you know, if you can sign a five-star guy in every class or two on the defensive line, great. If you sign a bunch of four-star type of guys who have the right mentality, I think this too with D-line coaching, it's such a because the motor, I think, is the key for these kids, the next level. There's a lot of guys with talent, but who has the real motor and the want to? So your D-line coach has to be really good at getting that out of him every day. And that's a big part of these guys maximizing their potential. I think it's a different position in recruiting. I think it's a tough position to coach. But I think when you have the right mix, man, good things happen.
And then our next question comes from Phil McIntosh. And Phil says, do you guys think Texas rotates defense too much?
I think at times last year they did. You know, I don't – these guys aren't immune to criticism or constructive criticism. I thought that they did at times. And I thought that particularly early in games they did it at inopportune times, and probably the biggest one, if I had a singular criticism, it's that they would make wholesale changes together. So it's one thing to have new linebackers in the game, but you're also putting new linebackers and new safeties and new defensive tackles in the game at one time. So you're not, you went from your first team to really your second team, right? That would be my larger criticism. At the same time, where do they go? 11-1 in regular season, 12-2 overall. And it's hard to, you know, it's hard to sit here and pinpoint, say, and nitpick and say they did it too much. There are small tweaks I would make if I were there and I'm sitting there looking from a major game strategy. I don't think you necessarily put in your backup defensive tackles with your backup linebackers with your backup safeties simultaneously.
That makes your up the middle defense susceptible. Yeah. And that can get you in this conference.
It will get you.
Yeah. All right. And then we got a Nate super chat real quick. So I'm going to ask you all that. Thank you, Nate, for the super chat. He says, what team will you guys miss playing in the Big 12? For him personally, it's Baylor because his wife's whole family went to Baylor. Second is Oklahoma State because of Mike Gundy. So what team would you guys miss or are you guys going to miss?
Bobby's going to miss Texas Tech.
No. Y'all want to know my true, honest answer on this? None.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not. I knew when Arkansas left in the 90s that I thought I would miss that a little bit. I knew when A&M left that I would miss that a little bit, that it pissed me off, but I knew I'd miss it a little bit. Baylor and Texas Tech and TCU, Houston. And I'm trying to say this the right way. They were always the ones that weren't trying to be on the same level as Texas. They were the ones making, trying to make Texas their biggest rival when Texas wasn't going to be, right? And so they had this different outlook about Texas that I didn't necessarily think was right. I will say this, the one thing I would have missed if I were 12 years old again is I got to see, I grew up in Houston, and so I would get to see Texas play either Houston or Rice in Houston once a year. If I grew up in if I would have grown up in Dallas, the same situation, except they still get the Cotton Bowl, right? But it would have been Houston, and it would have been SMU and TCU. I think that's more of a thing. Like if you can go out to, if you live in West Texas, you can go see Texas play in Lubbock once every other year. That's not going to happen anymore. I don't have any longings to play those other schools like I did the other ones.
Hey, Bobby, I got a question off the piggyback off of that. Have you been to all the SEC stadiums? Is there one you can't wait to go to?
I haven't been to all of them. I haven't been to Auburn. I've been around the Auburn Stadium, but never for a game. That one's going to be good. I really enjoyed I've been to a couple games at LSU, Alabama, obviously, Florida. I've been.
Yeah,
Tennessee. Same. I've been.
I was going to say an underrated one. I think Auburn is an unbelievable home field. It's underrated. At South Carolina, I went. But now this is when the Spurrier was coaching, so maybe it was a little different when Lattimore and Clowney and all those guys are Stephon Gilmore running around. But that was a very underrated home field advantage. So I think for the Texas fans, Jordan Hare, Ryan Nelson's mentioned that before. Jordan Hare is great. One of my best buds in this business totally agrees with that. He covered him for years. But yeah, I think I've been to a game at Tennessee. Actually, it was when Will Muschamp was coaching Florida and they played at Tennessee. But that was a great experience. I know Bobby's been there, but I think Auburn for the Texas fan base, that the ones they may not be thinking about or haven't been to, I think Auburn and South Carolina are going to grab their attention a little bit.
Yeah, my first game at Tennessee was actually Peyton Manning's last home game as a senior for Tennessee. I would say that for Texas fans, the best one will be if they ever play LSU at night. I'm just gonna, because I've seen a night game there. It's awesome. It is truly awesome. You know, it's going to be an easy drive typically for most Texas fans, just going over to Baton Rouge. Florida is an interesting game. Florida, I think Florida, no offense to Florida fans, they get a little, they think their stadium's really loud, and it's really not. I would say that. And Tennessee's stadium's not really loud either. It kind of opens up. But LSU Stadium, A&M Stadium, those are loud stadiums, really, really loud stadiums.
Okay, guys. Well, it's Friday, which means I need to tell folks out there about Chinook, and it's baseball season. And if you're like me, you have to have sunflower seeds. Don't fret. Chinook Seedery has you covered. Chinook has crafted the best tasting sunflower seeds on the planet, and their unique flavors are made from real foods and real spices. That means real Parmesan cheese, authentic Hatch chilies, and freshly harvested dill. And right now, I'm absolutely hooked on their lemon pepper flavor. Actually went through a bag last night at a high school playoff game.
It's I believe great. That.
And with 8 unique flavors to choose from, you'll definitely find a flavor you love. I guarantee it. So whether you're actually in the game or just watching it, grab a bag of Chinook. You can find them in your favorite store or go online, chinookseedery.com. And seeds the day with Chinook.
So, hey, Blake, where's the baseball team at this week? What's going on with them?
Yeah, so we are hosting Oklahoma State here. I'm going to bring up the standings, as you guys can see. Oklahoma in first place in the Big 12 with a 15-6 conference record. Oklahoma State and West Virginia both tied for second, 14-7. And then there's Texas right behind them, 13-8. So a series win here would be huge. Oklahoma State, not the best team on the road. They're 9-8 in away games.
So, you know where you never want to be? Sandwiched in between West Virginia and Cincinnati.
That's called Kentucky.
Woo! Mark Stoops tried to get out of there, but the Aggies turned the plane around.
That is the Appalachian Mountains right there, baby. I've made that drive.
So Oklahoma making the trip to Texas Tech this weekend. As you can see, Texas Tech way down there. But the good news is they're really, really good at home. They're terrible away. So Texas fans need to root for Tech this weekend, as much as it'll probably pain a lot of them. But a series sweep or even a series win would go a long way for Texas. You also need Cincinnati to take at least one game from West Virginia as those two teams square off this weekend. And then, like I said, Texas, a sweep would be huge. Even two out of three, just get the series win. But more of the same old for Texas this weekend from what I hear. It's going to be Grubbs on Friday, Whitehead on Saturday, and then LBJ on Sunday. Luckily, the bats have been on fire. Actually saw this morning they lead the Big 12 in home runs with 95. That's the second most in school history. But the pitching, 5.0 ERA overall. So got to shore up that pitching. It's been the story of the year. We'll see what happens. But David Keith Williams said that, you know, he was hoping LeBaron Johnson could go six innings on Sunday. The Texas needs him to. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Either that or, you know, don't lose the Friday game. Because all year long we've seen lose Friday, win Saturday and Sunday. But they need to come out on fire from the get-go starting tonight. So we'll see what happens. That game on Longhorn Network.
I think it was Sam Mitchell that had said something about Gainesville. Hold on. Now, he lives in Gainesville. I get it. But, dude, I will say this. I had a lot of fun at Steve Spurrier's Bar and Grill.
Spurrier, we were all about that place.
Yeah, I loved it. I had a great time. Spurrier's in. He was in there earlier today. I was there. But he's in there dang near every day. He does his podcast in there. Spurrier's Bar and Grill, that was fun in Gainesville. I was coming through to see. I can't remember where I was going last year. I was probably seated the Entree Robinson's what it was. Actually, it was. And then when I went down to IMG, but I had a dinner at Spurrier's Bar and Grill. That was actually a lot of fun there in Gainesville. Don't live in Gainesville. I don't think it's, you know, the most fun place unless you're a college student. And then you go to the beach. You head east to Crescent Beach, right? But Spurrier's Bar and Grill was fun. And when Texas plays at Florida, Texas fans, that's probably a place you want to go have lunch.
Who wouldn't want to live in a swamp? Me.
I knew you were going to say that.
What are you supposed to say to that?
Somebody asked about basketball. David Keith Williams asked, and I do want to get to that. So basketball, one big left in the portal is what Texas needs, and I'm going to get to this in a second. But JT Toppin out of Dallas, who played a great freshman year at New Mexico, he's the number one guy, distantly related to the Toppins in the NBA. But he's the guy right now for Texas, but he's going through the NBA draft process. There's going to be a fight. Texas Tech, Texas, Arkansas may be involved. But Texas does like JT Toppin quite a bit. He's a really good rebounder, would fit a need. Their kid named Kita Akiba went into the portal from Utah very close to the deadline. He was a guy that Texas liked coming out of high school and recruited him, didn't push for him then. He's 8.5 points, 5.5 rebounds at Utah, really powerful guy. Athletic, powerful with long arms. He's another guy. Then the kid who I can't pronounce, his name's Berkey. I call him Berkey B out of Turkey, who is a 6'9", really skilled shooter forward out that played at UCLA last year. Those are kind of the three guys to know right now for Texas as they look for their final big. But yes, I think Texas is going to play a ton of three guards next year. They're going to have bigger guards, much bigger lineup with the guards, meaning a Trey Johnson or Tremont Mark at 6'6". Or Malik Presley, the kid they just got from Vanderbilt. Those guys, you can play big three-guard lineup, and those guys can guard a bigger wing. I think that's going to be the difference. And in turn, you can put pressure on a big lineup that's playing a bigger wing combo forward. I think Texas is going to be really good at guard next year. They need to get that final piece on the interior. But they've done a good job at guard in the portal, adding to a roster that will have Trey Johnson, who's going to be a lottery pick. He's tremendous. Texas hadn't had a 6'6 guard like Trey Johnson, not in my lifetime.
And I'll read those questions for you real quick, Jerry. He says, I know your view is that UT will predominantly play with three guards, as you said. Do you think that Trey Johnson could also play SF like Timmy Allen and Dylan Mitchell?
Yeah, so I think what you'll see is three guards, right? So it's just say it's Pope and Trey Johnson and Tremont Mark on the court at the same time. One, they're pretty much playing with two guys who are shooting guards, but one of those guys plays a college wing. And that's essentially what Texas wants to get to. I've said this before when Rodney was hired and Frank Haith came on the staff. The Miami team that beat Texas in the Elite Eight, I think, is what Texas will look like long-term if they put it together the way they want to. I think a lot of three guards, you could even have an undersized four that could play as a guard or a small forward. I really think that's the style that you're going to see Texas try to implement long-term.
Okay, guys, we got a super chat that we need to read real quick here from Jack once again. And thank you, as always, Jack. He says, Jerry and Bobby, thank you for your answers / comments. I think the integrity you both spoke of is why this site is growing so fast. We need more of that in this world.
Thank you, Jack. We appreciate it. Jack, by the way, I got to say this, was the former baseball coach at St. Edward's before moving overseas to become a professor in Poland. I mentioned that with you. Best of luck, and thank you for what you're doing over there. We had an interesting discussion offline about the war in Ukraine right now, because he's in, I think it was Southwest Poland, teaching. So best of luck, and thank you, Jack, for what you're doing.
And a reminder that we have, obviously, we have a live stream this afternoon. I'm going to be at a sectional track meet here in the Atlanta area coming up here. I don't know, a couple hours. I'm East Coast time right now, so my time is a little messed up. But we have that live stream this afternoon. You never know, we may have a special guest for that. Let's see what happens.
Someone else that we need to say thank you to, Bobby, is BKCW. I'm going to let you tell folks out there about them one last time.
Yeah, absolutely. We talk about the insurance trap with them. They provide actual risk management consulting as your business insurance provider, not just price quoting. Operating out of headquarters in Austin and owned by a UT grad, BKCW uses a 5-step process to identify your business's weak spots, design a plan, execute it, monitor your situation throughout the year so that you can lower your insurance costs and effectively manage your company's risk. BKCW has already helped some of the most well-known companies in Central Texas, from restaurant groups, construction companies, breweries, etc. They escape the insurance trap, and it all starts with that free risk assessment. Go to bkcw.com or send an email to info@bkcw.com for your business today. They will help you out and allow you to really understand and consider what you need from an insurance situation, and perhaps save you some money along the way too.
Okay, guys, I know we need to get out of here pretty quickly, but first, we're almost at 4,000 people now, so let's run down the portal one last time, what all has unfolded in the past 24 hours or so.
Yeah, Dominic Williams commits to Oklahoma over Texas. At the end of the day, those are the two. LSU was not in that, couldn't play in that sandbox at the end of the day. But I think, look, Oklahoma, we talk about, is the juice worth the squeeze? To Oklahoma, it absolutely was. I think Dominic Williams is going to be a very good football player, have a long career. Texas still has a little work to do. We'll see what they come up with at defensive line in the portal. Javion Cole from San Jose State, the corner, transfers on campus. He got in about 11:15 yesterday. I think his flight landed, began that visit around noon. He will be at Texas and leave Saturday. He's got a visit scheduled to Auburn as well. We'll see if how long the process goes on. I think starting the visit process, Texas is considered the favorite. But then if you go on and visit Auburn after this, and who knows who else tries to get in on this in the next couple of weeks. But Javion Cole, he's a really good player. A college coaching buddy knows one of the former coaches there at San Jose State, and they think he's got a future in football as a pro on some level. They're not necessarily, say, NFL drafting, but they think the kid's really good. They think he could be, but they think he's really good. They thought he was one of the steals that they had at San Jose State from Cal Poly. They thought he was very, very good.
Okay, y'all, we'll do one last question here, and we'll close. I mean, we've been talking about the defense quite a bit today, But actually, let's do this one from Gilbert Martinez. Sorry. What grade would you give UT with this year and the transfer portal?
That's actually a great question, Bob. Yeah,
that's why I want to end on that one instead of
what. Good job, Blake.
You know, it's I was talking to CJ about this. 23 transfers out, 14 in the 14 in the winter term, 9 in the spring, 9 transfers in, I think, at this point. So a net negative 14, but how many of those transfers out genuinely hurt Texas? Maybe one or two. Really, I think 3 potentially in Terrence Brooks, obviously the cornerback. Although I think that was a mutual decision. So let's say that. But then Austin Jordan and Billy Walton, those are the only ones that I think really hurt Texas. Meanwhile, they added Amari Nyblack, Isaiah Bond, Matthew Golden, Bill Norton, Tia Savea, Andrew Makuba. Who did I miss? The point being, net positive, in my opinion, in the portal. Yeah. So I give it I wouldn't give it an A plus at this point. I'd give it an A minus, B plus.
I'm in the same place. I think A minus is where I'd go with that. I think, look, there's a bunch of future draft picks came in. I mean, Isaiah Bond, Nyblack. We'll see what Matthew Golden. I don't think Texas fans have seen Matthew Golden healthy in a Texas uniform yet. Obviously, Silas Bolden is a total jetpack. Texas improved their team speed, as crazy as that's as a whole. I'm talking as a whole. Through the recruiting class and the portal, 1 through 85, Texas is going to be a faster team this year than they were in 2023, in my estimation. But I think they brought in guys to score touchdowns. I think Savea and Norton are guys who played on a 10-win team last year that'll answer the bell physically. Will they be backfield playmakers? I'm not saying that. I think they're going to answer the bell physically. I think Makuba was a big addition to safety. I think Texas is going to be a lot better at safety next year, better rotation, better players, more speed, more athleticism at safety next year. So I give Texas an A minus, and we'll see how it finishes up.
Okay, y'all, that's going to do it for today's episode of Coffee and Football presented by BKCW. We want to thank them for always sponsoring our Friday show, along with Flat Creek Estate Winery. Be sure to check them out as well. And we need to thank Nick Redwine for joining us. If you missed that great interview, be sure to go back and watch it or listen to it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever medium you want to. But great stuff there. We can't thank him enough for coming on today's show. And we can't thank you guys enough out there for joining us each and every day. We appreciate it. And all the super chats, if you haven't already, be sure to hit that like and subscribe button, ring the bell so you're notified anytime that we go live. And then Bobby, real quick, I'm going to let you tell folks out there about the OTFOG over at ontexasfootball.com.
Yeah, absolutely. We've had just a tremendous response to this and we appreciate it so much. I think the community at On Texas Football is just growing. And we appreciate that. Please come be at OTFOG with us on our website, ontexasfootball.com. Go there, use the coupon code OTFOG, and you get $20 off an annual subscription. So instead of $59, it's $39 a year. Again, use the code OTFOG. Look, Jerry's there, CJ, myself, Blake, we're all writing articles each and every day. A lot of people want to know about what's the latest on Javion Cole, et cetera, any kind of recruiting news. It happens there first because we can actually get that done before we go click on and do videos if we need to. But join us, become part of the club. We're there for you guys each and every day. Jerry's even got a little on the road segment going on right now for you guys over there as well. Hope y'all be a part of us in each and every day. Appreciate it very much.
And I think you guys will like, y'all are going to like where I'm at later today, because it's going to be the first look for Texas fans at a guy who's going to officially visit in June. I'm looking forward to it. It's the first time I've seen him in person. Love the tape. Can't wait to see him in person. We're going to bring you that on texasfootball.com and on the live stream later.
Jerry with the little tease there. So be sure to head on over to ontexasfootball.com. And hope you all have a great weekend. And for Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton, I'm Blake Monroe, and we'll see you Monday morning.
Welcome.